So today's weekly readings from the Torah tell us about the Lord's view on relationships among the people of Israel. So whole Torah portion, whole Mishpatim, it's about relationships. It's very important. And I have one secret. Do not tell anyone. We are one body. Whether we want it or not, it doesn't matter. God looks at the community of believers as a family. So, hallelujah. So, Missy, thank you for your faithfulness. Again, you're faithful for so many years in this Mishpacha. Thank you. And I'm so happy that your husband came to the Lord. It's so good.
Amen.
You have a wonderful year. So we are Mishpacha. We are a community of believers. We are the family. Mishpacha means family. Family. And just as every family has its principles, rules, and traditions, internal laws that form the relationship between family members, every family has some rules. And what makes the family complete and protected, the same way the Lord gave his statutes and decrees in order to formulate the principles of his spiritual family, to separate us for himself from this world, to make us special and holy to him. We are the family. And when Yeshua came, he did not abolish the commandments, but the Spirit of the Lord, Ruach HaKodesh, writes them on our hearts. This is his work, his process. I would like to read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Hebrews 8, verse 10. Here's the mystery of the Lord in our lives that was hidden for so many centuries. Now it's revealed to us. Hebrews 8, 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. And here's the truth of the new covenant. So Mazel Tov, Mishpacha. I, the Lord say, I will put my Torah into their mind, and upon their hearts I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And what's interesting here, it is to house of Israel. So to be a family of the Lord, Mishpacha of the Lord, you need to have the Spirit of the Lord in your heart and the Torah of the Lord written on your heart. So praise the Lord for this opportunity to know Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to know Yeshua, the Messiah, to be able to be born again from the Spirit. So let's take a close look at the Ten Commandments that Moses received from God on Mount Sinai. Really brief. I don't want to go deeply. I mean, we have only 5 hours here. We don't have time. So we need to be very brief. So, first commandment. Do not worship any other God than the one true God, is the first one. All other gods are false gods. Worship God alone. There is no question here. The second one. Do not make idols or image in the form of God. An idol can be anything or anyone you worship by making it more important than God. If something or someone has your time, attention, and afflictions, it has your worship. It could be an idol in your life if it is in the place of God. Don't let anything take the place of God in your own life. The God is God. The Lord is the Lord. He's the first. He's the first. Third, do not treat God's name lightly or with disrespect. Because of God's importance, his name is always to be spoken of reverently and with honor. Always. Always honor God with your words. never use his name lightly. He is so precious. He is so important. He is the Lord. Fourth, please remember it. It is so important. Dedicate or set aside Shabbat for rest and worship of the Lord. Here's the place of the Lord. It is so important to be here in this place. Shabbat to the Lord, for him. It is his time. 5. Give honor to your father and mother by treating them with respect and obedience. 6. Do not deliberately kill a fellow human being. Don't hate people or hurt them with words or actions. Amen. 7. Do not have sexual relations with anyone other than your spouse. God forbids sex outside of the bounds of marriage. Respect your body and other people's bodies. Amen. 8. Do not steal or take anything that doesn't belong to you unless you have been given permission to do so. 9. Do not tell a lie about someone or bring a false accusation against another person. Always tell the truth. 10. Do not desire anything or anyone that does not belong to you. Comparing yourself to others and longing to have what they have can lead to jealousy, envy, and other sins. Be content by focusing on the blessing God has given you and not what he has not given you. You have so much, and especially in America, believe me, you have so much. Be thankful for what the Lord has given you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you, Lord. So I would like to look closely here. The first four commandments are about the relationship between man and the Lord. Vertical relationships. The man and the Lord. And six commandments are about the relationship between people. Between us. Mishpacha. Family. The Lord himself, knowing our nature, focuses us on the relationship inside of the community of the Lord. When God gave his commandments, he drew our attention to the ordinary, everyday situations and interactions between people. And Mishpatim, it's about relationships. What to do if something wrong or how to be right. So I have a question. Why did the Lord dedicate the 6 of the 10, so majority, of commandments to human relationships? 4 about the Lord and people, and 6 about us. I think, it's my opinion, because we as a congregation of believers need to be an example of his family in our everyday life. It is his laws, his statutes. He wants to create new family, new mishpacha in this world. God's community, you and I are called to influence people in this world. We are called to change this world and be an example to follow. We can't change anyone by sword or by weapon. We can change people by our love, our standards in the Bible, in the scriptures. That is why the Bible calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The salt. We are the salt. Dear friends, this is so important to remember. Can you say to your friend, you're the salt of this world? It is so important to remember. It is so important. Unfortunately, some part of the modern society of believers, not all of them, but some part, without realizing it, without even thinking about it, has become a product of today's time, without knowing it. They're often trying to please and adapt to the values and thinking of the surrounding society, to be like everybody else around. Today, in many places, it is no longer permitted and even dangerous to call sin a sin. Sometimes it's even illegal. To talk about righteousness and God's judgment, sometimes it's not permitted in some places. Some preachers or some people no longer even talk about God because it is not fashionable and may offend someone. And we don't want to offend anyone. Of course, we are nice people. We want to be nice people. Nicer than the Lord. Sometimes we may not realize how much this society influences our thinking, behavior, and attitudes. The question is, or we will influence people around us, or they will influence us. I want to share one story from my own life. It was probably 50 years ago. No, I'm joking. Many years ago, when I was 16, my father took me to help him build a small house for his friend. It was a friend of our family. This house was located not far from the city where we then lived, in a lovely place by the river. It was a beautiful place. I remember fresh air and the pleasant smell of grass and forest there. It was beautiful, beautiful to be there. So we stayed there at the construction site for about 2 weeks. And when we returned home and drove into the city, Nikolaev, my home city in Ukraine, I remember how dirty and smoky the air was in my town. It was a contrast with the pleasant and fresh air in the area where the house was built. It was a huge contrast. I can feel the smoke. But this is the important part. What I want to say is that after a few minutes, I got used to the city air and completely stopped paying attention to it. It took 5 minutes. Everything's fine. So in a sense, the same thing can happen in the spiritual world. We seem to grow accustomed to the spiritual atmosphere around us, the scene around us, and the opinion of the people around us. And we may have a dangerous temptation to get used to sin, stop calling evil, evil, and good, good, be tolerant to everything. But we can't become tolerant and indifferent to what is happening around us and lead the life of an ordinary sinner in order not to stand out from the crowd. Simply because most people live like that. We can't do that. We are the salt of this world. We are light of this world. Amen. I see the quiet here. I don't want to condemn anyone. I just want to show the way. It is so important to remember. Sometimes we think that social things are more important than the Bible. We need to be careful here. We need to be careful here. The scriptures is the most important. It's the foundation of our life. Amen. Amen. By living a sinful life, we forget that the whole essence of our faith, our calling, our existence, is what unites us with God. And He calls us to be light, salt, and a breath of fresh air. Probably sometimes you don't notice it, but you are the breath of the Lord in this world. You can walk on the streets, you can go to your friends or to your work, and people look at you because you are called believer. And they wait for you, from you, the words of wisdom, words of freedom. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. Can you open it, please, with me? It is so important. Malachi 2, 7. I want to be very clear here, and especially after my oral surgery. So, Malachi 2, 7. Please read it. Because you are the priest of the living God. The Bible calls you a priest, a priesthood, a holy nation. People are called to be a priest of the Lord. And here's the Malachi 2:7. For a Kohen or priest's lips should guard knowledge, and instruction must be sought from his mouth. For he is a messenger of Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord Almighty. Mazel tov, mishpacha. We are called to be priests. We need to care about the word of the Lord. We need to protect the word of the Lord in our lives. We are the messengers. We are messengers to this world. People are looking for a light, looking for an answer, looking for truth and love. Unfortunately, some communities have lost holiness and become a subculture, caring not about what the Lord wants, but about how to lure people, make comfort, and not offend anyone so that there will be more parishioners and more finances. It's all. Parishioners, finances, it's all. I heard people say, but Yeshua spent time with all kinds of sinners, and so we can do the same. Let's go and have fun. But you need to remember, when Yeshua was with sinners, he was the event. He spoke the truth, and they came to him for God's freedom. Do you see the difference? He wasn't there to have fun, to relax. Oh, I'm tired from this service. Oh, I need to relax. Where can I go to have fun? No. Everywhere he went, he was fun. He was the main party. Party of the Lord. Party of the freedom of the Holy Spirit. People came to him to receive from him. Everything changed around him because he is a messenger of the Lord. He's the Lord himself. So you are the messenger. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You can change people around you. You can change atmosphere around you. It is possible. Just walk in the Spirit. Invite the Spirit in your life. Be with the Holy Spirit. Stay connected with him. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 15. Titus 2, 11 through 15. It is about grace. And you know that grace can be the name of the girl, Grace. But not all graces are, yeah. We need to understand about what kind of girl we are talking about today. We are talking about grace from the Lord, yeah? So let's talk about grace from the Lord here. Do not mix different kinds, because sometimes people think about grace as the way to do sin, to do everything, and the Lord is grateful, it's everything's fun, everything's fine. But the God's grace, Titus 2:11, for God's grace, which brings deliverance. I love it. God's grace and deliverance are together. You have freedom in the God's grace. This is the meaning, the direction of God's grace. For God's grace, which brings deliverance, has appeared to all people. It teaches us to renounce godlessness and worldly pleasures, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives now in this age, while continuing to expect the blessed fulfillment of our certain hope, which is the appearing of the Shekinah, or glory, of our great God, and the appearing of our deliverer, Yeshua the Messiah. Come, Yeshua. Come, Yeshua. We wait for you. Amen. He gave himself up on our behalf in order to free us from all violation of Torah or unrighteousness, and purify for himself a people who would be his own, eager to do good. And verse 15, the main. These are the things you should say. Encourage and rebuke with full authority. Don't let anyone look down on you. Here's the battle between two ideas, worldly ideas, and the Lord's truth. Stay strong on the Lord's part. Don't let anyone look down on you. You're called to be strong. You're the light. You're the salt. So what I want to say, in today's society, faith can be very selfish. For some people, faith or Christianity, it's only about God and me and nobody else. So God, me, nobody else. Some people think this way. I came to the congregation only to feel good. So it's all. As a result, many people are not an active part of any congregation. They serve no one, care for no one, help no one. Their faith and spiritual life revolve only around their own interests, needs, and ego. They do not even have friends who could pray and stay close in difficult times with them. But the Lord, in creating His people, wanted to make a spiritual family with spiritual principles and laws. It is so important. So I want to remind you one of the most famous prayers, Shema Israel, Hear Israel. The very idea of this prayer is all Israel together. Shema Israel. Listen, O Israel, together. Young and old, rich and poor, together. All together. Following the Lord is our common concern, our common calling. Everyone rejoices when someone is successful and when someone goes through difficult days. Everyone worries and prays together. I mean, I have pain on my heart about Esther. I feel that she is in pain. And I believe we are the same way because we are praying and caring congregation. We are the mishpacha of the Lord. And it is a good thing. It is normal. We need to do so. We need to pray. We need to love each other. It is so important. We come to the Lord together, sharing responsibility for each other, helping each other, praying for each other, serving each other because we are a spiritual family. It is normal. It is wonderful. Remember the prayer, Our Father who is in heaven, the most famous prayer, Brit HaDasha, New Testament. So I want to share one more secret with you. Do not tell anyone. Read carefully. Give us our daily bread. And you know, when you read this prayer, our is plural. Think about it. Our is plural. And first of all, we pray for spiritual bread, for God's word and His will for all of us. Together, we are of great value in the eyes of the Lord, and every one of us is essential and precious. It is so important to remember. The first Messianic community was built on the same principle of unity and family. We can see a lot about it in the books of the New Testament. It was reality for them then, in those days. I would like to read only one verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts 4, 32. And we have only 3 more hours together. Acts 4, 32. Here's the truth. Now, the whole group of those who believed, the whole group, again, Shema Israel, the idea to all together, our Heavenly Father, our Father. The whole group of those who believed was one in heart and mind. And sometimes we are stopped there. Fine, they're together, super. No one would say anything he owned was his own, but they had everything in common. So, what does it mean? They helped each other, were together and loved one another. It was their life. They were together, Mishpachah's family. This desire came from the Holy Spirit who lived in their hearts. And because of it, they were able to turn the whole world upside down. They had the power of the Holy Spirit. They were together. Do you agree that we must learn how to love? It is important. It's whole life. We have to learn to love and grow in it. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do so. We need the Holy Spirit. So I want to bring a powerful example from the scriptures. One more example, and very important, essential. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Can you open it with me, please? It is very important. I can't just read it without going deeply. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. Here's the foundation for so many things. I believe we will think about this for a long time. 1 John 1, 6, 7. If we say we have fellowship with him and keep walking in the darkness, we are lying and do not practice the truth. And verse 7, the key verse. But if we walk in the light as he himself in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Yeshua purifies us from all sin. Of course, this passage speaks about the communion with the Lord with us, but if you look in whole chapter general and look at the context of the chapter, the whole message, we can see that this place of scripture also speaks about relationships in the community of believers. When we have fellowship together, the blood of Yeshua, the Messiah, cleanses us from all sins. Amazing. Amazing. When we have spiritual relationship, when we come to worship the Lord, when we worship in the Spirit and the truth, the holy blood of Yeshua cleanses us from all sin. It is normal. The Holy Spirit can work on us when we pray together, when we worship together. And he shows us our sins and transgressions. We can change then. By the righteousness of the Lord, we can influence one another, and we can be transformed into the image of God. It is so important to be part of a congregation. Be a part of a congregation. If you are online, it is good if you are trying to be careful, but be part of the congregation. Be part of the spiritual family. It is important for you, very important for you. And 1 John 1, 9, as a result of these spiritual relationships. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Of course, most of the sins we need to confess to the Lord and only to the Lord. But in some situations, we need to confess to each other. We need to repent. We need to get right with each other. And one of the ideas of Seudat HaMashiach is to get right with each other, is to repent, is to confess things, to process things together. So important. I have an essential question for us today. Based on the passage just read in the 1 John 1, 7, 9, what will happen to a person who does not see the importance of community and does not want to be part of God's plan, a member of a spiritual family, mishpacha? Can a person change and make teshuvah, repentance, without the cleansing blood of Yeshua the Messiah? Is it possible? Please answer this question honestly for yourself. It is so important. I know so many places of the scriptures about it. It is so important to be part of the spiritual family. You need to be part of the spiritual family. You need it. It's essential for you. You can't fight alone. It is impossible. You're too weak alone. You can't fight with Satan, with his demons. It's impossible. I mean, it's impossible. It's difficult. This is why we have spiritual families. In conclusion, in today's Torah chapter, I want to show the same principle of how the blood of the covenant worked. So, the same principle, Exodus chapter 24, verse 6 through verse 8. The same principle about the blood of the sacrifice. Exodus 24, 6 through 8. Then, again, it is about the blood of the sacrifice. Then Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half he poured out against the altar. He took the scroll of the covenant. Here's the covenant part. We are in new covenant with the Lord. He took the scroll of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. Again, they said, All that Adonai has spoken, we will do and obey. It reminds me immersion in Yeshua, and water immersion, tefillah, or some people say baptism. When we say, Lord, I will obey you. I promise you, I will follow you. The same idea here. And verse 8, the most important part. Then Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which Adonai has cut with you in agreement with all these words. Here's the same idea. They were all together in the presence of the Lord, and they were sprinkled as the people, as the nation, as the mishpacha, by the blood of the sacrifice. Again, together accepted the commandments and were sprinkled by the blood of the sacrifice. The same idea in the 1 John chapter 1. What a wonderful place. In this case, sprinkling with blood is associated with forgiveness of sins and atonement from sins, about restoring their relationship with God. What could cover their sin? Nothing but the blood of the sacrifice. What could restore their relationships? Nothing but the blood of the sacrifice. What can save us? Nothing but the blood of Yeshua. Today we are under the new covenant with Yeshua the Messiah, the new covenant sealed by his own blood. Today it is still the blood of the sacrifice that makes us free. But now it is the blood of Yeshua, the only perfect sacrifice that frees us, that removes the condemnation of sin, that casts our fear, that allows us to boldly enter into the presence of the Lord, boldly. Now you are free to converse with God and enjoy his presence. And actually, his presence are here right now. He promised us. Hebrews 10, this is the last place, I promise you. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Here's our prayer life. Here's our worship life. Here's our daily life, our daily prayer. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Yeshua. We must come to our Father boldly, without fear, because we are covered by the precious blood of Yeshua the Messiah. And we are forgiven completely. We are accepted by him. We are his spiritual family. And you are his child. And he loves you so much, so deeply. So he gave his only son that you will be forgiven and accepted by him. So, Mazel Tov, Mishpacha. Mazel Tov. I really love you and so happy that you are here. You're online. So happy for you that you are part of the spiritual family. You can count on us and count on the Lord. And he counts on you because he loves you so much. So thank you so much. I would like to invite Ina. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel. So let us stand together and let us close this service with Aaron's blessing. And thank you again for your presence. Thank you for your prayers. It is so important for the Lord. Let us pray. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.